it's another film study. This one, again, has slide components. So you'll learn a lot by listening if you're driving, sitting in traffic, but you can learn even more if you head on over to filmstudybaltimore.com and check out the slides and the video that walks through the slides as well. Ken McCusick, how you doing?
That's good, Josh. How about you?
I am doing great. Enjoying that sports are back and can't wait that football is not, we're getting closer, I think, to football instead of further away right now.
Yes, that does seem to be correct. We're getting closer to football.
I mean, at any day now, we can suddenly hear that we're further away than we expected.
Oh, no, that's true. Okay, so anyways, 3 weeks from tomorrow, we have the Chiefs and playing that first game.
Yeah, yep. So, meanwhile, we got baseball, and depending on when this video is released, depends on whether or not the Orioles are good or bad, because they are a team that I cannot figure out right now.
Super streaky, and just so you know this, and I'm not sure that we really need to do it for this, but August 19th, we're recording this. A lot of the video that we're recording, we kind of want to timestamp because we want to look back at what date it was during camp. But August 19th for this, and got a good program for you today.
Right. So we've done a lot of studies using math and mathematicians and your skill set, Ken. So we're going to bring Ben in to help us out and walk us through a study he did, kind of, but using more of his computer degree in computer science to look at Justin Tucker and his field goal percentage. Ben, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, man? Are we just gonna get started? Hop right in.
Let's introduce each other for a second here. Ben, first of all, we're happy to have you, buddy.
Thanks.
Where do you go to school now?
I'm a junior at University of Kentucky.
Congratulations on your basketball team of individually store bought players every year.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah. Also,
I'm paid to win.
Right.
You know?
Of course. Really brave of you to be a Yankees fan as well. Really going out on a limb there.
Yeah. You want me to turn this around real quick?
That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, I got you.
We have our preferences here in Baltimore. But anyway, you're doing this for your audience, and I can see from the front slide of your presentation, you really get that. I was impressed. I saw your study on Reddit, and I thought this is something that is great. It really gets people into this kind of thing. And your own story about how you got interested in starting in analytics. Why don't you tell us that?
All right. So I was initially a pretty big math nerd in high school. I went to a math and science school in Williamsburg, Virginia, maybe a couple hours outside of it's in the DMV, maybe a couple hours outside of it. But and I used to be that one friend who always used to use stats when you're arguing. But back then, I wasn't really into the whole computer science, machine learning type stuff. So it was a lot of base touchdown interception ratio, stuff like that. And then after a while, I kind of realized these aren't really good stats. Like, this isn't the way to describe players. Like, it doesn't really provide context. And then finally got on Twitter, found NFL Analytics Twitter, just got really into it. Found out about the Big Data Bowl, started following guys like Pavelva, Ben Baldwin, Josh Ernstmeyer, stuff like that. And they got me really hooked into the analytics site or analytics stuff for football. And about May, that time frame, I was just reading and I decided, hey, I need to do something productive this summer. Quarantine's just not going to – I'm not just going to do nothing all quarantine. I can't go outside. I can't do anything. So I might as well just get a head start in school. I'm taking a machine learning class this fall. So I started getting ahead on that. And I was reading up on how at the Big Data Bowl, a lot of people use XGBoost. That's kind of the overlying factor there. So thought I'd learned that. This right here is my first experience using XGBoost to create a regression model for – field goal percentage and how likely each field goal is to be made. So, that's pretty much it.
That's great. I'll certainly have questions as it goes along. And in particular, if I think you're explaining a point and it needs more talking through for the audience, I'll slow you down and ask questions.
All right, cool. So let's get started. All right, so as you can see, like, y'all are a Baltimore audience. You already know this. Justin Tucker is the GOAT. It's really not close from my point of view. So what we have, I created a metric called FGOE, or F, I call it FGO. It's, oh, it sounds better. It's easier on the, it's easier to say. So it stands for field goal percentage over expected. So every field goal based on a certain number of factors has a probability of being made. So this percentage is taken into account every time a kicker takes a field goal. So say Justin Tucker, for example, has a 65% chance of making a certain field goal. And he makes it because, of course, he would. He's Justin Tucker. So his FGO for that specific kick would be 35 or 0.35 because it's 35% over expected. So this is just this metric is just made to judge the output of NFL place kickers, kind of just rank them in ways that aren't completely relying on volume. So here's my importance matrix.
Let me hold up for a second.
Yeah,
so it's just to be clear, it's like you're earning an extra share of a field goal every time you make one that somebody else maybe wouldn't have. So it's one minus the field goal expectation. And that, to be clear, that field goal expectation isn't Justin Tucker's field goal expectations. It's the league expectation.
Yes.
And it's the league expectation over the last 20 years, or did you have
over the last 20 years, yes. So from 2000 to 2020. There's NFL FastR, the data scraper that I use. They don't have data going back before 2000. If not, I would have used it. But unfortunately, hopefully they're working on that. But so right here,
one of the questions that came up before the show was if you pegged it to individual years, you might get some additional accuracy because generally field goals have been increasing in likelihood over the 20 years. But I don't have any doubt that Justin Tucker would still be number one, but it's just something I would I'd love to see.
Yeah, I mean, definitely, I'm always working on this stuff. Like, y'all can go ahead after that. I'll have my GitHub at the end. Like, if y'all are more interested in this, I have my code up there. Y'all can check it out. I'm pretty much constantly updating it. I have different rankings, code that can rank different players based on different things. So if y'all want to check that out after, like, we definitely do that. So this is the importance matrix. So obviously kick distance is going to be the most important thing, right here at 75%. And then after that, we have, air pressure, the humidity, wind direction, and the wind speed. And down here we have, precipitation, what kind of surface. So if it's astroturf or grass, and then right here with technically is a factor, but not really, we have whether or not it's the roof. So the reason, like, you think that it would be the roof, whether or not you have a roof would be more of a factor, but in reality, the main things that the roof affects is the wind direction, the wind speed, and the precipitation, all of which are already factors. So the idea that the roof is also a factor seems kind of redundant to me.
In fact, I think it has an impact on all five of these items, because you think you only have indoor, you only have turf, maybe Arizona still has grass inside. But precipitation, wind direction, humidity are constants for a indoor stadium.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, most stadiums are probably climate, or dome stadiums are probably climate controlled. So, like, honestly, the roof could pretty much just disappear and the model wouldn't be too much different at all. It's mainly these six factors right here.
So two questions about this.
Go for it.
First of all, do the sum of the feature importance items sum to one? It looks like it's close.
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yeah, they do.
And then did you use a machine learning model or a mathematical model to get it to assign these feature importance components?
I used a machine learning model. There's an R package called XGBoost, and I used that. So there's a function in there called XGBoostCV that will fit the model for me, and it'll assign a value to each of these each of these different features.
Do you know what the CV stands for? Is it like component value or something? Or
yeah, I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So this is just a plot I made, expected field goal percentage relative to the kick distance. It's just pretty cool. I thought you can see that there's at each different kick distance, there's a bunch of different expected field goal percentages because of the different factors that are implemented in the model. So you won't have just one line going down. There's actually multiple points on each distance. So I just thought that was pretty cool.
Tell me why that would be. I'm looking at this. I'm just trying to understand it. If it doesn't have a formula then that it's using to derive that distance, or is this based on all the different possible combinations of the six or seven factors you had on the previous page?
Yes. So this is every single kick in the NFL for the last 20 years. So gotcha. Right now I'm only plotting the expected field goal percentage and the kick distance, but what's also being taken into account are these five other factors right here. So that's what the discrepancy in the data is right on each kick distance.
Gotcha. That's great. So that explains it.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Thank you. So who is the GOAT kicker? This is a Ravens podcast. Y'all saw the title, so you know where I'm going with this. But what makes a GOAT? So you have to have longevity. If you have one or two good seasons, that's great, but you're not the GOAT. And you also have to have a great peak. So I was talking about this earlier off camera, but Adam Vinatieri, he's an amazing player, but his peak, even though he was all pro for three seasons, those three seasons weren't exactly his best seasons. And we'll see later that Justin Tucker's average in EFCO is actually better than Adam Vinatieri's best season. But you have to have an amazing peak. Adam Vinatieri, I was talking to my buddy a couple months ago when I was working on this model. I said, hey, Adam Vinatieri's not as good as I thought he was. And he says, yeah, dude's just been in the league a long time. He's the Frank Gore of kickers. And that, I don't know, that just made me laugh. Frank Gore's a great player. Frank Gore's going to be a Hall of Famer, I think. And Adam Vinatieri will as well. But like that doesn't exactly make a GOAT. No one's thinking that Frank Gore is the greatest running back of all time, even though he's piling up the stats.
Right.
He's going to be 45 when he retires.
Well, and I'm 57 now, and as a kid, the guy who most resembles Vinatieri is George Blanda in terms of a guy who stayed in the league forever. And Vinatieri is actually older, I believe, now than George Blanda was when he retired, which is really incredible.
Yeah, Blanda used to he used to be quarterback too, right?
That's right. So he's a quarterback for a long time. And as late as 1970, he played some quarterback and had an incredible run to get the Raiders into the playoffs and eventually lose to the Colts in the AFC Championship. And he might have been 42 years old, 41 years old at that time. And he came in five times in relief and led them to four wins and a tie down the stretch. Just incredible miracle run, last second wins, all the stuff. So was quite a player.
Dang, that's crazy. So next thing is accolades. So you have to have your accolades. You're all pros. Pro Bowls don't seem to matter as much recently. Seems like everyone makes the Pro Bowl nowadays. Mitch Trubisky has a Pro Bowl, so that kind of shows you what that actually means. And of course, you have to have the volume numbers. Like that kind of goes with longevity as well. If you're in the league for a long time, you're going to have those overall numbers. And if you don't, like that's just on the teams at that point. If they keep signing you, you're going to put up those overall numbers. So, of course, we're going to have the case for Adam Vinatieri. If you've read the article that I posted on Reddit, you'll know that half the comments are pretty much, yeah, Justin Tucker's pretty good, but did he kick two game-winning field goals in the Super Bowl? And I really can't argue that. Like, Adam Vinatieri did do that. He's been in the league for 24 seasons, three-time All-Pro, six-time Pro Bowler, four Super Bowl rings, all-time leader in points scored, field goals made, and all these other records. Like from a volume standpoint, he probably is the GOAT. If you just looked at these numbers right here, like you'd be pretty hard pressed to make an argument for anybody else. But then you look a little bit deeper into the numbers. So Adam Vinatieri's career EFCO is 0.011. So that means he's over the last 20 or for the model over the last 20 years, his EFCO or his field goal percentage is 1.1% higher than it's expected to be. So Vinatieri, he's 32nd around 66 qualified kicker. So he's pretty much the epitome of average. And his highest FGO was 0.092. And obviously right now we're not at the point of the slide to where we have a reference point for that. So 0.092 is 9.2% higher than it's expected to be, which is still very good. Like, you can look at this.
So to be clear about that, that's 9.2 percentage points more field goals made. So it's if the league made 80% of the kick, he would have made in that year 89.2% of his kicks in terms of expectation.
Exactly. I got into trouble on Reddit about that too. A guy called me out for that.
Yeah.
I need to work on that, but. And then his lowest FGO was obviously last year. If y'all were paying attention to the beginning of the year out of Vinatieri saga, it seemed like the dude could not make a kick no matter what. I think there was a game he went 1-for-4 or 1-for-5. It was rough to watch, especially for someone who bet on the Colts a couple times. But he was not having his best time out there the last couple of years. 2018, 2019, he wasn't doing very great. And then even in his quote-unquote prime, he was pretty volatile. It shows he'll have a good year, and then he'll have a really bad year, bounce back up, back down, back up. And then he kind of stabilized around the 2013, 2014. He made All-Pro 2014. And then 2015, he actually ended up having a better year. Mm-hmm. But then he started a pretty steep decline, falling off a cliff almost, which kind of what you expect for a 46-year-old football player. Right. But like even the GOAT, or as the people on Reddit would have you believe,
everybody stays around too long would be my thing. So if you look at baseball players, any athletes, they usually stay around for a couple of bad years at the end of their career. Ray Lewis had a really lousy 2012 as a linebacker. Yeah. And, you know, it's understandable. The other thing in Vinatieri's favor here is I think that you're measuring him against a standard, in particular for him, since he played the entire 2020 period, and I think the field goal expectation has probably gone up during that period. You're, in particular in the early years, you're not recognizing how good he was with what you
got. So
minus 0.1 might be only minus 0.05 in his worst year early in his career.
Yeah, that's kind of what you're going to see. Like, I was going through the rankings, and you look at all these players. I don't know if it's because they're younger, it's earlier on in their careers, their legs are fresher. But you look at the top FGO ratings, it's Tucker, but then it's Harrison Butker, Josh Lambeau, like all these new kickers. Like, yeah, they're great. Butker's a great kicker. Lambeau had an amazing season last year. He was pretty much almost better than Tucker. Like, it was a top 10 all-time season with respect to FGO. But you kind of see, are they going to be able to hold up for the rest of their careers? Like, you look at Dan Bailey. I'm a Cowboys fan. Mm-hmm. And Yankees, Cowboys, it's complicated. But Dan Bailey, he was on a career track to be one of the greatest players, or one of the greatest kickers of all time too. A guy on Reddit commented this also. He said he was going to be the greatest of all time. I never really thought that, but, you know, we agree to disagree. But Dan Bailey was on the career trajectory, and then he got injured once. He got cut. His cap hit was too high. It wasn't even a bad injury. He was still a great kicker. And he's still a great kicker. He had an amazing year last year. But it just, you see, as you get older, there's even a kind of a small decline. And you see what happens. Like, you're suddenly out of the conversation altogether. So
it does take a while. It will take, I think Tucker's like nine missed field goals away from dropping the highest percentage of all time at this point.
Yeah.
So some people have a little bit of padding.
Yeah. Do you know who has it now? Like, I didn't
see the highest career percentage.
Yeah, but other than Tucker.
Tucker. We'll look at it right now. Good. Keep going, and I'll look it up.
All right. Cool. So here's the case for Justin Tucker, like Ravens guys. He's like, this is what y'all have been waiting for. So he's only been playing 8 seasons. It feels a lot longer than that, but I started watching football in 2012, So that's pretty much when he came into the league. So I've been watching Justin Tucker ever since he started playing football. And already 4 times All-Pro, so half the season he was All-Pro. 3-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champ, amazing singer. We all already know all this. But you look at these raw numbers, and you look back at Vinatieri's, and there's no way Tucker could be the GOAT. He's across the board, other than Pro Bowl or other than All Pros. Like, Vinatieri is better, like, with the 8 seasons. But then again, you look at the metrics, and his career FGO is 0.098, so he's 9.8 percentage points higher than the expected, which is first about a 66 qualified kickers. And if you look at the rankings, it's not even close. It's Tucker. Then you wait a little bit. Then it's everyone else. Vinatieri is 32nd, like I said. Like, this is 0.6 percentage points higher than Vinatieri's best season. So Tucker, an average Tucker year, is Vinatieri's peak Vinatieri. Yeah. Then his highest FGO, 1.9 or 0.19, which is incredible. I don't need to tell you that.
I think it should be 2016 there, not 2010. He wasn't in the league yet then.
But that's 2000. Oh, yeah, that's my bad. Oh, I must have. This must be Vinatieri's, but yeah, because he wasn't bad at all in 2019. Yeah, this should be 2015. But 2015, even his worst year was 0.004, which is still above the expected. He's the only player with positive EFGO in the last 20 years. He's incredible. So
there are a lot more tougher stats that go with that, but I'll let you finish here.
Oh, yeah. Like, I could go on and on about him. But so I looked at the EFGO ranges for careers. So right here you have the minimum, maximum, everything in between. So Justin Tucker, obviously the best kicker. I was putting this together today, actually, and I was pretty surprised at what I saw. Like, Seabass. Seabass is – he's either awful or he's amazing. He has – I was looking through. He has 3 of the 3 worst EFGO seasons in the last 20 years. But he also has 2 of the top 10 best. Like, he's really hot or cold on a season-to-season basis. I just thought that was really interesting. Goskowski – also, not as good as Tucker, but pretty much a model of consistency. Not really as small. Same with Hauschka. Robbie Gould is always a guy I forget. Bears, Niners. Same with Matt Bryant should be up here too, I think. I remember I was looking at Matt Bryant. Yeah, I was like, that's not where he should be.
At the top. He's pretty good.
Yeah, there he is right there. Right around Hauschka. Greg Zuerlein, even though he didn't have a great year last year. Again, the problem with this is that I only have back to 2000. So anything before that is pretty much non-existent. That's why we only have, I think, 6 seasons of Vanderjagt, even though he was there before. We don't have Vinatieri. He's around here, around the middle, right in front of Dan Bailey, like you see. He wasn't amazing, but he was having some good years. This was, I think, this might have been 2018 right here when he was with the Vikings. Vinatieri, he's not bad. He's kind of just your average kicker. Matt Prater, who I think is very underrated.
Okay, question about this Viz. Let me give you this in general. Would it be possible maybe to add, or is there some way I should be able to tell it from this? This looks like it's the best season to the worst season range for each kicker, right? Would there be a way to put his average season in here as, say, a red dot somewhere on the line?
Yeah, so I was working on that earlier, and I was just messing around with it. I was trying to get 2 dumbbell plots on the same line. Mm-hmm. So it would be a dumbbell plot right here, and then to the average, and then another one to the other side. And for some reason, ggplot just wasn't working with me that day or today. So, but yeah, the average would be like I tried to get the average down on each one of them, but you know, sometimes computers just hate you. I don't know how it is, but
no problem. I have the top percentages of all time. So Tucker's number 1 at 90.75%. Butker at 89.72%. So he's only 1% behind now. And he's just qualified. That's the reason. So it used to be Lambeau and Butker just qualified through the 2019 season. But I think the next guy down was maybe Robbie Gould, or it might have been Bailey before, in the 87% range. And now those guys are at 87.3, 87.0 for Boswell, 86.8 for Gould. So there's been some drop off with some of these older kickers.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about him defending his title from Butker and Lambeau, it's probably less kicks that he would have as a pad. It looks to me like about only if he missed four field goals consecutively without a make, and those guys didn't kick during the time, he'd drop out of the top.
Wow. Okay. I mean, damn. Was then Tucker's at what, 90.4?
90.8.
90.8. 95, yeah. Wow. That's insane.
So let me just make sure this. Yeah, he's got 292 career field goals attempted. So if he missed four in a row, that would drop him by 1.3% in his total. So he dropped to 89.
For some reason, I thought I had him at like 290s. Oh, does this count in playoffs or is it just regular season?
This looks like it's just regular season. I'm looking at playoffs. Has he missed any kicks in the playoffs? Let's see.
Yeah.
He's 11 of 12 in the playoffs, so it really is not too much difference from his regular season.
Yeah. All right. That makes sense. I mean, I have him at like 297, I think, but that's also because I took blocks out of my model too.
Mm-hmm.
So the kicks that were blocked, like that, those are outliers. You don't want those. You don't want those in the data. So I just took those out. So I think I have him at 297. Vinatieri at 624, something like that. The fact that I know these numbers is insane, but you know.
Well, let me give you the big Tucker number as far as my perspective is. I believe it's 109 consecutive kicks he made. If you take out the blocks, there were four of those.
Yeah.
And you only consider 0 to 57 yards, all the distances up to 57 yards, because Tucker will try some longer field goals, which is another reason why occasionally picks up misses at a long distance, but he had a 58 wide right and a 62 short. And he had four blocks, and he otherwise made 109 consecutive kicks of 57 or fewer yards, which is just, that's amazing. You get the ball off, you made 109 in a row, but that streak finally got broken in the San Diego game at the end of 2018 in the regular season.
All right. Let me ask you a question. You're a math guy. So if I were to add extra points, I don't have extra points in this model. It's just field goals. Mm-hmm. So if I were to add extra points in this model or to this model, do you think that would dilute the sample size? Because you kick a lot more extra points than you do just field goals in general.
It's an interesting question, because if you add extra points and treat them as a 33-yard field goal for the period when it's been that, shorter field goal for the period when I don't think it would really mess you up too badly, because you know, people are going to show on the shorter distances that it was about 98.5% or more of the extra points are being made, and at that medium distance people are missing them more, but what do you think, still 90, 92 maybe would be a typical percentage people would make. I don't think it would mess things up too badly. There are a lot of extra points per year attempted, so he has as many extra points. As a matter of fact, he has more extra points attempted career than he has field goals. I don't think it would mess it up by too much. He's missed, you know, having missed 3 out of 301, my guess is his position doesn't change in any way, shape, or form. And, it, you know, another option would be to weigh them by the number of points that are at stake. So you'd weight them 1/3 relative to the field goals, or weight the field goals.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Now, I was thinking about making more of an expected points model rather than field goal percentage expectation. I might do that next. Like, there's still a bunch of stuff I could do with this data, but that would be pretty cool and kind of just see, like, how much expected points that Tucker adds by just tagging that extra maybe 2 or 3 yards onto the range. So instead of a 57-yard field or a 53-yard field goal, suddenly you can kick a 57-yard field goal. And that adds a little bit more expected points to the expected points model for the Ravens, per se.
Let me think about that. Okay, so you're saying the opportunity to kick a longer field goal adds additional opportunities that he then converts at a normal rate. Okay, Yeah, I could buy that. In recent years, they've been taking kicks up. Well, 18 and 19 with Lamar Jackson, they've been taking kicks away from him to go for it on fourth down. So it'd be an interesting kind of a thing.
Again, that's not a bad idea either. I mean, if you have Lamar Jackson, you got to use him.
Oh, sure. But,
yeah.
Okay, it's awesome. Very, very cool stuff, Ben. You have more slides here?
Yeah, let's see. All right, so is Justin Tucker a Hall of Famer? So kind of just went with maybe. Like, this is kind of just hedging the answer, but, like, it's maybe. Is he a Hall of Famer? It kind of just depends. So the Hall of Famers right now are what? Moore, Anderson, Blanda.
Stenery.
Who else? Sorry?
Stetson, Stenery.
Yeah, so there's only three, right? So – and Blanda was a quarterback also, and he played 4 years. And then one of them was in the 50s and 60s. So you don't really have a big sample size. So if Vinatieri and Goskowski, if they make the Hall of Fame, then Tucker will almost certainly make the Hall of Fame. He has the ring. He'll have the volume stats if he plays as long as I think he's going to play. Like the kicking, to get into the Hall – it seems to be almost volume-based. That's why you're going to see, aside from the two Super Bowls, you're going to see Eli Manning get in. He wasn't anything special over his career. I think we can agree on that. But he won the two Super Bowls. He's top 10 in passing yards, just like Ben Roethlisberger, I think, is top 10 in passing yards. Matthew Stafford might have a case as a Hall of Famer if he keeps up his trajectory. He might be top 10. I actually like Stafford. He's not bad, especially last. He's been really aggressive lately, which I like. But the small sample size just makes it really hard to tell to see if Tucker will be a Hall of Famer. My gut says yes. I think he's just that much better than everyone else. But if Goskowski or Vinatieri doesn't, or especially Vinatieri, if Vinatieri doesn't make it, then who knows what's going to happen to Tucker, especially if he kind of just regresses. And he just I was doing some numbers right before this, and if Justin Tucker kicks 25 field goals every season for the next 16 years, and he has an FGO of 0, like, he'll still have the highest FGO, assuming everyone stays the same. So I doubt the Hall of Fame voters are going to look at this model right here. But if this is what they take into account, Tucker should be able to make it. But again, if Vinatieri doesn't make it, then who knows?
You know, I think there is a chance that they'll be looking at a broader set of stats. One thing that's been interesting about the analytics era, and particularly the PFF era, is I think they're going to get a lot more offensive linemen to the Hall of Fame. And the offensive line Hall of Fame thing was a complete sham before, because the sports writers who were voting on it really weren't expert enough to judge that, and they're judging on all pro bowls, and they just didn't know. Now we have week to week effectiveness metrics for offensive line play, and you got a better chance to get the right people.
All right, yeah.
I'll give you some other tougher stuff that I think is probably going to end up getting him in. Number one is he's at the top of the list of almost every advanced kicking metric. So if you look at the longest average miss, the longest average made, all of the kicking metrics that are there, the highest field goal percentage, obviously, FGO would be another one that I think would be good. He's at the top of all of those. So I don't think he's at that. Yeah. He's a player that only 8 years into his career, they're already talking about him as the greatest kicker of all time. People, an active player, that has been around for 8 years. I've never known that otherwise to happen. Even like Lawrence Taylor or other players that were 8 years into their career, there weren't as many people saying that they're the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
I think, you might have found Ravens fans that thought Ray Lewis was the greatest of all time after 8 seasons.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of other people on the other side of that. With Tucker, I don't think there's anyone truly on the other side of this argument that's not totally invested in the New England Patriots.
Yeah. So. Makes sense. But yeah. So let's see. Here's some acknowledgments. Play-by-play data from NFL Fast Era. Make sure y'all go follow these guys. Like, they have, like, if you're listening, Ben Baldwin, Sebastian Carl, the weather data is from Tom Bliss. Zach Feldman, he did the SIPO model, completion percentage over expected. That's kind of where I got the inspiration from. Mm-hmm. He did the SIPO model for NFL Fast R. So I used that. That was a pretty good outline on how to use XGBoost. I was doing some reading on Stack Overflow, and I kind of got the gist of it, but this really like showed me how to put it into, like, put what my mind was thinking onto code. And then PFF Moo, Timo Risk, he actually published, he actually did something on FGO. I didn't know about this before until maybe a couple weeks after I posted this on Reddit. Someone tweeted about this, completely unrelated to my article, about how he actually made an FGO model. He didn't use weather data at all. It was simple regression. But it's a really good article. Everything that he does is amazing. He's a PFF data scientist. Like, he's very, all these guys are way smarter than I am. But yeah, make sure y'all give these guys a follow. Before we go any further, I know you want to talk about, is Justin Tucker worth a first round pick? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what do you think about that? Well, I was looking at Reddit before, like someone made a different thread on Reddit about if Justin Tucker was worth a first round pick, and it was kind of going back and forth. But what do you think?
Well, for starters, I put a tremendous value on draft picks, period. So let's talk about where it is in the first round. If it's the first overall pick, I don't think there's any doubt. I'd go ahead and I'd trade Tucker and try and get the franchise quarterback that I needed. But if it was Tucker, you know, for a mid or late round pick, or the Chiefs say needed Tucker as the last piece in their Super Bowl puzzle, and I knew I was going to draft pretty late with that selection, I probably wouldn't do it. I mean, his value each year is extremely high. As a kicker, he's never going to cost a ton of money. He's never going to make $10 million a year. So I think there's a lot of reasons why, you know, he gives you a value above cap that is pretty exciting on a long-term basis, even though he's a market value player at this point.
Yeah, like I was just thinking, like, if you're the Ravens, like, I don't think if someone offers you a first round pick, I don't think you do it. But by the same token, if you're, say, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Saints, like, these guys already have great kickers. So what's a good team with a bad kicker?
Good team with a bad kicker. I mean, New England's had problems in recent years with having a bad kicker for periods of time.
Yeah. Oh, they just cut Gronkowski too. Let's see, I guess the Buccaneers are good now. I don't know how that's gonna work, but yeah. I don't even know. Oh, I think Matt Gay's all right, but yeah, the Buccaneers. Like, if you're the Buccaneers, you don't offer up a first round pick for Justin Tucker either. It's just from a points perspective, like, you're gonna get that extra value from whoever you draft with that first round pick, even if it's a developmental piece in a couple years. You're still going to have a player that's on the field for more downs. It's going to be making more of an impact, even if it's, say, like, I don't want to say a running back, but any other position other than running back.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I mean, I think you really got to look at it and try and figure it out in terms of either expected points or expected wins.
Yeah.
You do. But I think you can make the case for Tucker. One of the cases I tell you is that he just doesn't have the same kind of injury and productivity reduction risk that any other player would have, let's say, in their late 20s. So
that's true.
If you're picking a player like that, I mean, Tucker from 28 to 32, or he's 31 now to 35, probably has a lot less downgraded injury risk than a guy who's, you know, 27 to 31 at linebacker set.
Yeah. Like that, and you have to think, like, I'm not an NFL scout, obviously, but, like, these kickers they're pretty hard to scout. It seems kind of random, like, which ones are good, which ones are bad.
Go back, like, to your chart for a second, because the Ravens are the field goal pickers of all of them. So this will show
you.
But the guys who they let go down this list is Hauschka, who used to kick for him in 2009. They let him go, but he's now one of the greatest pickers of all time.
Yeah.
Will Lutz, you got him on the list here?
He's somewhere up here. He's with the Saints now, right?
That's right. One of the highest percentage field goal kickers of all time, and he was cut because the Ravens already had Tucker. And then there's another one, too.
Is Stover on here?
Billy Cundiff is here. Stover is down here.
Yeah, Billy Cundiff is way down there. But
Graham Gano, also a Ravens cast off in the middle of your list. Oh. Anyway, the point I'm making is the Ravens last year traded Kari Vedvik before the season for a fifth-round pick, and the Vikings cut him immediately. The Vikings weren't stupid for making that trade. It didn't work out for them, but the Ravens have picked all these successful kickers over the years. This could have been another good player, and to trade a fifth, it was a risk they took and didn't happen to work out. Yeah. But
I mean, it's a fifth-round pick. Like, what are you really losing? But that's weird. Why would Lutz be on there? Has he only put?
No, he's played plenty long enough to be on the list, I think. Let's look at him in terms of percentage lifetime, but he's I know he's up towards the top.
Yeah. So maybe it's just I know I filtered it out.
He's fourth.
I filtered it out as like 20 per season. I can check it out right here real quick.
Okay, so he's only been going for four seasons, but he's had 136 field goal attempts during that time, 87.5% of them on the money.
Oh, so did you say four seasons?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I have the filter more than five seasons.
Okay.
So that's probably it. Yeah. All right. But yeah, so like Lutz is pretty good. From like a lot of the kicker stuff I know is from fantasy. Like that's why Josh Lambeau came out of nowhere for me. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, he's been good a while, and Lutz has always been pretty good for me. So I don't know. Matt Stover is not as I've heard a lot of good things about Matt Stover. I'm surprised he's as low as he is. But you know,
definitely a very consistent but short range kicker. Never had the distance ability that Tucker had.
Yeah, yeah. Like he was still. Yeah, he's very he looks very consistent. Same with all these lower tier guys, but. You know, you can only be so good or so bad. Cundiff, Hauschka, God, it's all Ravens guys.
Cundiff is a dirty word in this town. So let's keep going. Do you have more slides to go after that?
No, it's just like where to find me. This is on Twitter. If y'all have any questions y'all didn't think of, or if anybody listening wants to find me, I'm at BenKeener4 on Twitter. My DMs are open. Just shoot me a DM. My GitHub right here. This is where you can find all the code. If y'all are interested in that, I also work for I write articles for a fantasy site, and I put all my data viz code on that too. So if y'all want to see that, and also check out Yards for Fantasy. They write great articles. All the guys I work with are amazing. They write amazing articles. And then this is the original article. If anybody wants to check that out, I'll probably put this slide on GitHub or this slideshow on GitHub too.
All right, and since this will be going out as an audio podcast as well, your Twitter name is BenKeener4. So yeah. I'm sure on Twitter you can find all these. And I easily found the article by going over to Reddit and just searching Justin Tucker the GOAT. Yeah. And, you popped up immediately with like 800-some comments about your work.
So yeah.
You can find over on Reddit as well.
And then my GitHub's linked in there too, so if y'all want to check that out, all the code's there. So if you, go ahead.
Good stuff, Ben. I really appreciate having you on. You know, you obviously took it upon yourself to jump into this, and this is something I'd always encourage anybody who wants to get into analytics or modeling. Just do something. You know, that's the best thing. Model something, and then something you're interested in, passionate about, you're arguing with a friend about. And just try and model it. And I think, you've done a really good job here, Ben. And there's definitely good stuff here at the heart of this. And kudos to you on it. And it shows that the stuff is kind of compelling, that you're getting so many responses to the thing. And it doesn't seem to be that you're getting model bashing, which is good. Because one thing about model bashing is make sure that you understand somebody's model before you start to bash the crap out of it. that's when you earn the right to bash somebody's model. The other way you can earn the right to bash somebody's model, if they tell you everything about it is either proprietary or secret, or they can't tell you the methodology, then you can bash that right from the start. but Ben, you did a great job on this. I really appreciate you coming on to talk to us.
It was a blast. Yeah.
And we'll see you next time. Josh, what do you got going on 336 right now?
Oh, well, that's I mean, it's baseball season, so it's Orioles, and it's whether they're good, whether they're a good team that are playoff bound, or if they're a bad team who wasted their chance at a draft pick for a fun 2-3 weeks of baseball. So we're trying to figure that out right now with the Orioles on whether or not they're good or bad this year, and what that means for the future of the organization, and what it means for going into the trade deadline in a week or two as well.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. They certainly have some players that a lot of teams would want. If Iglesias was healthy, boy, I think he'd really have a significant value right now. There's a team out there that needs a shortstop.
Yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, we've got guys who are good, but does anyone want to trade in this shortened season? Who's no one's throwing the whole farm system at winning this year?
No, they and if they do think they can win this year, they think they can win via the back door just as well as the front. So
right.
It's not your typical 9-13 team who's going to be excited to get the last playoff spot to do that. So you're right.
Exactly.
Less trading,
so it's a weird year, and we're just getting through it. And then, Ken, everyone needs to go check out filmstudybaltimore.com if you're not already over there watching this video. And you're still asking for people to help out with shorts.
Absolutely. So if you've got an idea for a short, give me some bullet points on it. Twitter DM, just like Ben, mine are open, is the easiest, at Film Study Ravens. Love to hear from you. Want to be as inclusive as possible. We love hearing from new people, new ideas, to talk about their studies or their thoughts on the Baltimore Ravens.
All right, guys. Well, have a great night.
Birdland Sports. For fans, by fans. Find more great shows like this at birdlandsports.com.